All right, good afternoon. My name is Jeff McDaniel. I'm part of Western Carolina University ENT 610 Spring 2025. I am interviewing Tiffany Dotson, the business development person for Staniland and Dotson Associates, certified accounting firm in Winston-Salem. And this is our SME interview. So, Tiffany, I've asked to interview you mainly because of your background in business development, but also more importantly, your background at Miller Brewing, Krispy Kremes, and then Liberty Tax from a marketing perspective. So thank you for letting me interview you. And what kind of interests you in marketing at the beginning?
So my mother tells me when I was a baby, and we're talking like firstborn, I had colic. And the only thing that would quiet me is when there was a commercial for a Double Mint gum and they had two twins that came on the commercial. The only time I would be quiet is when that commercial or another one played. And then I'd start screaming again with colic. So I guess I knew at an early age that I loved advertising.
Right.
And I loved being in that environment. When I went to college, my mother really wanted me to be an accountant, which ironically, my husband is a CPA. That's how we're here at Staniland Dotson. I gravitated to advertising. There was something about marketing and the strategy. And I think the pull is this: when you're in marketing, people think about the fluff and the advertising, right? They think about the ads I've done with Pamela Anderson, or they think about the TV shoots and that fun, flashy part, which is fabulous. I loved that part. What they don't think about is there's a science behind it too. You have to run a profit and loss statement. You have to understand psychologically your target market and how to speak to that target consumer. And in some cases, when the consumer doesn't even know they want or need your product, how do you show them that they do? So it plays with both sides of the brain. It's not only the art part and recognizing that, but it's also quite a bit of analytical work. And it's the marriage of those two that attracts me to this profession.
Okay. And your educational background was in accounting.
Well, I went to undergraduate and I was in the business school at Keenan Flagler Business School, which is at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And so it was a general business degree. I was able to switch my concentration to marketing, even in undergraduate. When I left there, I went into field sales and worked in field sales for Philip Morris USA and worked my way up in sales, which is different than marketing, but there's some tie there. Right. As I was there for 5 years, my interest in marketing just continued to grow. It's what I wanted to do. So after 5 years of sales, I went to earn my MBA at Emory University's Goswata School of Business. There, I concentrated in marketing and strategy courses. And upon graduation, I went to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and started a job on the Miller Lite brand at Miller Brewing Company. And I spent 5 years working on Miller Lite, eventually becoming their senior brand manager of the brand. And when I left Miller, I left to return home to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I was director of marketing at Krispy Kreme Donut Corp. And then left Krispy Kreme to work at Liberty Tax Service, where my husband and I were entrepreneurs, as well as I was their AVP of marketing, with Liberty having ultimately about 4,500 locations at that time. So working on their national marketing and helping individual business owners market their local business as well through our tools.
Okay. And I remember from a previous conversation that we had, you had an unbelievable budget at Miller.
Oh, it was, you know, it was 300 and some million dollars.
A year.
A year. Yes. Because the brand is $25 billion brand.
Right. That's a lot of beer.
So it's a lot of beer. And, you know, we had a lot of people working on that brand, right? So there was a team of marketers, but there's also a team of accountants that are supporting you.
There's
an advertising agency's. There are people who are just looking at the color correctness coming off the line of the cans. I mean, it's a huge team effort when you're working on a brand of that size.
So with that experience, what was your most valuable lesson that you learned in your marketing career?
Playing the orchestra and being the orchestra conductor. And what I mean by that, it's one of the things I love about marketing. You have to work across all functions. And you have to be a team leader and a motivator across all of them. And as you can imagine, even in a small company or even in a small department, if you're focused on the same thing, that's one thing. You're still going to have differences of opinion. You're still going to have differences in backgrounds and personalities. But then multiply that when you have someone in marketing working with someone in engineering, when you have a brewmaster thrown in, then you have someone from accounting thrown in, then you have someone from legal put in. We had to show all of our commercials to legal and get their approval as well. Then you've got sales. You've got your distributors who they are a third-party business that have other brewers who want to court them for their attention. And so name any department in the company. And in marketing, you're working with them to make the product more effective, to make it satisfy and exceed the expectations of your end consumer, and to deliver that message ultimately. So I loved the challenge of having to lead an orchestra where there are a lot of different people playing a lot of different instruments with a lot of different personalities and bringing it together to play the right song and pleasing ultimately your consumer, which is your audience.
Yeah, I've actually never thought of marketing being that kind of needing to have that kind of a strategy, but it totally makes sense. I mean, I felt that way as a director of operations for an aerospace company. You're trying to pull all the pieces together between supply chain and quality and safety and the operations guys, but marketing is just from a much larger perspective, especially at Miller Brewing. It's a huge company, right? So it's a lot of people with a lot of opinions, and I'm sure it's...
We're all trying to deliver to the shareholder, and we're all trying to deliver to the consumer, and we're all trying to serve our own individual bosses, and we all have different agendas in some cases that we think are leading to the satisfaction of the consumer and the shareholder.
Nice. So what do you think was a pivotal moment that shaped your approach on how you managed your marketing strategy?
So as I was progressing at Miller Brewing Company, I was thrust into senior brand manager and the strategy part a little bit unexpectedly. So I'd been on the Miller Lite brand for quite a while. I was getting ready to transition over to new products just for a new challenge. I was pretty excited. A lot smaller budget, obviously, and a lot different challenge, but I was excited to see something brand new, literally.
Right.
Miller Lite's been around for a while, which has its own benefits and its own challenges. The woman who was senior brand manager leading strategy, very seasoned marketing professional, left for a new opportunity with a liquor company. And we were in the middle of brand planning and brand strategy. So I was brought back to do the strategic planning of Miller Lite that year. And to say my eyes were a little bit wide open and, oh, crap, was probably my first internal response would be correct. But you can't exactly show that, right? And I was blessed to have wonderful mentors that helped guide me through that strategic process. I had a mentor who had been the vice president of Diet Coke. I had another gentleman who had worked worldwide with Coca-Cola, even in South Africa, because at this point, Miller Brewing Company was owned by South African breweries. So I had someone that they had brought over that had worked with worldwide Coca-Cola and had a lot of experience with huge brands and leading them. And I was fortunate as well. Of course, the CEO of Miller was very interested in what Miller Lite was doing as well. So I had a lot of incredible role models. And the biggest thing anyone can do in at any age, in any profession, is listen.
Right.
I don't care who it is, right? It doesn't matter who the person is. But in this case especially, I was blessed to have some extremely senior, talented individuals who were pouring into me. And they taught me the rigor of strategic planning. And I was always someone who's very analytical and enjoyed digging into the numbers and looking for opportunities. But they certainly taught me the strategic framework that had been successful for them. And I have applied that thinking and framework to many other things in my life, including here at SDA, how I approach what we're getting ready to do and how we're going to reach new clients and help satisfy their wants and wishes, right? Because here at SDA, it's about finding a new client, but also about understanding what they want and what they want to achieve and what role we can play in helping them become their dream.
And in a smaller firm like this, right, your business development marketing would fall under that, wouldn't it?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. I mean, that's what we're doing here is, you know, finding folks, and that's all a part of it. It's a different number. It's a different magnitude, but it can still be just as intense and rigorous, and it should be. But I was very blessed there. And I'll give you kind of an example of listening to anyone. I had an administrative assistant come to me one day, and she said, "The union at the plant is pissed at you." And I said, "Why are they pissed at me? What have I done?" And she said, "You pulled the Miller Lite commercial at Christmas." Mm. I said, "Yeah, I did." She goes, "Well, they know it's you and they're pissed." And I said, "Now, I'll give you the background. The reason I had pulled it is when we tested that commercial, we had horses in the commercial. Well, when everybody sees a horse in beer, they think Budweiser." Mm-hmm. So I was the commercial, every time we aired it, everybody thought it was Budweiser. Everybody thought it was Budweiser. So it was advertising for my competition. This right. commercial was 20 years old. They ran it every Christmas. Well, the guys at the plant loved this commercial. If you were in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you thought it was Miller Lite. They were mad I wasn't running this traditional ad. I was pulling it for the right thing for the brand because I was basically feeding my biggest competitor.
Right.
I had a different Christmas commercial that tested as Miller Lite. So I said, "Okay, so they want to see it." She goes, "Yes, they want to see it." "Okay, fine." So I called up the ad agency. I said, "Guys, here's the issue. What can we do about this?" "Well, you know, I could do a spot buy and just in Milwaukee, Wisconsin." "Perfect. Get me the numbers." So we did a spot buy. We bought just in Milwaukee. We bought Primetime and whatever else just in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We put the ad back on where it does ring Miller Brewing Company. Everybody was thrilled. The plant was happy. They went back to being focused on making great beer for us. And we went back to advertising Miller Lite elsewhere in the country as Miller Lite, not Budweiser.
Right.
So it's, you've got to listen to everybody and take their input mm-hmm. and understand what they're saying and how you can, you know, leverage the opportunity.
Yeah, and then be tactful of how you execute that.
Exactly.
Right. I guess focusing on really Miller, or if there's another example that you might have, a typical day in your role as a marketing person in either Miller or Krispy Kremes or...
Yeah. I generally like to get to the office early because with marketing, it does rely on being connected to all the different departments and what's going on, right, in the company. And so I like to get to the office early so that, frankly, I have a little quiet time just to review what's going on, my agenda for the day, what I need to get done, and work on a few things that take a lot of very focused concentration because, especially in business development, as you know, I tend to be in a lot of networking meetings mm-hmm. and other things. So whatever's critical to get done, I like to do that early while it's quiet. If I have mm-hmm. to analyze something or whatever it might be, I like to do that early. And then... during the day, I might be in meetings with Miller or Krispy or even Liberty with various departments so that we can work on whatever it might be that involves that department and involves marketing. And then, you know, finish up the day. I like to have my goals for every day of what do I want to achieve today that ties to, yes, you know, people do set goals, of course, right? So we have our annual goals and we have them broken down by to hit this annual goal, we need to do this by this date, that by this date. Certainly we have that at Miller. We have it here at SDA. And so at the end of the day, I like to review, okay, what am I doing tomorrow and making sure that ties to that overall picture
okay.
of how I'm going to get us to where we want to go at the end of the year.
And so kind of continuing on with that, how do you stay up to date with latest trends and changes in the market?
Mm-hmm. You know, frankly, it's easier done when you're with a Miller or even a Liberty, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's larger companies, larger budgets, and more liaising mm-hmm. with people who are in your departments. In marketing, you have a larger department, say when you're at a Liberty or even a Miller Brewing Company, right? Where everybody's like, "Hey, I was just over at this conference. Hey, I was just talking to so-and-so at this right. ad agency and they brought up this." So when you are the only business development person at your company, as I am now, mm-hmm. I rely on my networks and other people who are in this industry. They may not be business development at a CPA firm, but they might be like one of our colleagues that you've spoken with. They might own their own web and design firm, or mm-hmm. they might be someone who makes software, but they're certainly up on AI or other things that are happening right. out there. And so I rely on other networking colleagues to keep me up to date. And I also read journals online, obviously at this point, but, you know, read other trade magazines and journals just to try to keep up to date with the latest trends and happenings.
Awesome. So from our business as in construction, we do a lot of data driven decision making. Mm-hmm. But there's also for us, the creativity is a little bit on the lower end when it comes to construction, right? You're either building a bathroom or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not a designer, but in marketing, I would imagine there's creativity in how you're going, how your strategy is going to work. But there's also data that you're analyzing to make sure that you're hitting the right market or right. demographic or, and how did you balance that creativity versus, well, I mean, one example was the horses, right?
Right.
The creativity versus the data, and making that decision.
Yeah. I mean, you always have the data that shows you, okay, so who is my target consumer? Who is, where are we profitable? What segments can we profitably serve, mm-hmm. right? Where does our expertise lie in helping our clients? And so you have that no matter what your business is. And then you also have the approach of how you speak to that client, how you reach that client, and that's where some of the creativity may come in. In some cases, the clients may not even know they need you or want you mm-hmm. until you have those conversations. And anytime you deal with a human, and I would even wager in construction, there are, I'll say, irrational decisions that can be made from emotion. Mm-hmm. And in marketing, it's trying to use the data to predict where some of that may come into play. I mean, for example, in accounting in this day and time in 2025, why does anyone want a paper copy of their return? Yet they do. Mm. So yet we offer it, right? Because people do, because they've always had a paper copy, because they like looking at paper, because it's easier for them to go through and analyze themselves. So you're going to have things like that where if you were making a software decision, well, why would we ever need it to print paper? Well, you're going to, because humans are not rational beings.
Right.
So you have to keep those things in mind. As you're, while the data may say one thing, you're going to have to keep, human behavior is not always rational, and that's where sometimes some of the art and some of the emotion comes into finalizing a decision.
Well, what would you think one of the biggest challenges facing marketing today is?
You hear a lot about AI, and AI is so helpful. I think there's going to be a big debate coming soon, probably across a lot of sectors, how to best use it and how to best balance it, because mm-hmm. it can get you into trouble too, right? We've all heard the story of the attorney who wrote the brief mm-hmm. and their brief was yeah. fake, and they've lost their law license because then they came back with a second brief that was also fake to right. the same judge. And apparently that is a true story. So, you know, with anything, there is Miller used to say a lot, there's a pendulum and it always comes back to balance. Mm-hmm. And I think AI is one of those things that's going to swing way out and come back into balance. It's going to be important. It's going to be important to know and keeping up with those trends. And it's going to be a part of our everyday lives. It already is something I look at almost every day, I think.
Yeah.
But it's going to be that balance. That's going to be the cusp of the trend. And you're always going to have to, in marketing, keep up with the generations. There are some generational differences as to how we look at things, especially financial. I'm sure it's in home building as well. Not just trends like, yeah, okay, you know, you and I, our generation's aging, we're going to need more bathrooms where we can get into and rails. Right. Not even just that. There are different things of how we look at homes, I'm sure, and after COVID, what we want in our homes and how we think of having family and friends in our homes. Right. And so that's going to be in any sector, in any business, every generation and everything that happens is going to change how we look at that business, what we need from that business, and what we expect of that business to deliver us. And so in marketing, it's always going to be about having our businesses that we serve over delivering. The goal is to exceed those expectations and staying on that cusp.
Right. And it kind of answered the next question, which was the emerging technology that you think is going to have the biggest impact. And would you agree that AI is probably going to have the biggest impact, maybe even short term and...
Short term and long term, I think AI is going to have a huge impact. I think everybody knows ChatGPT failed the CPA exam. So in our industry, that's an interesting, right?
Yeah.
An interesting factoid, but it certainly has its place.
I guess it didn't pass the bar either.
Maybe not. But it certainly has its place and it can certainly help. And I think as we harness that tool and weave it in more, but then there's data and security. You know, like for example, ChatGPT can start analyzing financials, but everything that's out there is public. So as you're, you know, as an accounting partner, I'm certainly not going to upload your financials into it and have it help me analyze them because now it's public record. No way, Jose, that's private. You're a private company. So I think that AI is going to have a huge impact. I think we're going to see some guffaws that happen as we get used to it. But probably the next biggest technology is out there with some, you don't know, 16, 17 year old kid in their bedroom right now being designed.
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to online and offline marketing, where do you see a balance between that, like, offline marketing versus online marketing?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is your company size and what you do for a living, right? So if I were marketing clothing, right? There's a lot of clothing sold online. Man, I'd want to have it covered online. I'd have so many things. I've never been in the clothing from a marketing perspective, but I'd have so much going online to attract, draw people to my site. My website would be top notch. So easy to navigate. So easy to try things on and, you know, right? You'd have all that down. In a CPA firm, the client that you're serving, a business client, there certainly a website is important, for example, and having that front face, but often they're going to want to have a consultation face to face before they just hand you all of their books and all of their personal information.
Right.
So for us, there's also a networking component that's very important. We've picked up clients from our website and online and from online marketing efforts, but typically there's some type of phone call or personal interaction before they trust us to move forward.
Yeah, I would imagine that's similar to us too.
Yeah.
Most of our stuff is through referrals. And we get referred by somebody in our networking group, and then that person that was referred to us then gives us another referral, and that's how we've been able to kind of stay in business for the last 3 years. So networking for us is crucial for that. But we're also starting to see that some of our online presence is actually starting to bring in other larger companies that are looking to get, like, full renovations on commercial type things.
Good.
Which is good. And we're focusing on trying to increase our SEO and that kind of thing. But really the focus right now to keep the lights on is networking.
I had a client the other day call and asked, and we said, oh, well, how did you find us? I found you online. I said, well, may I ask, what was it? They said the website. What was it about the website that drew you? They said, I liked your pictures. Mm. Okay, great. I mean, you never know.
Yeah, we like that you guys are veteran owned.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll probably get more traffic after the 26th when we go to the Clemens Community Day and we have a tent there. So we have a two tent setup going up there, where we'll have a little section for kids to build a structure.
Oh,
and
nice.
And then I think we're going to build a structure and then put a 5-pound plate on it.
Oh,
to
cool.
See if it stays up.
Oh, and very then, cool.
And then we have like a giveaway for like a Yeti cooler or something like that, just to kind of motivate people to come to our booths.
Nice.
So yeah, it should be a good event for us, because I think there's, last year was 5,000. This year is probably going to be more because the farmer's market opens the same day and it opens before.
Nice. So people get their goods and they'll wander over.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it should be a good opportunity for us to market ourselves. What is your personal philosophy when it comes to marketing strategies?
Know your target consumer. And when I say know them, I mean know them, right? You should have a persona in your head. This is Susie. Susie has a home that's 20 years old. She's tired of her bathroom. She has a disposable income of this. Susie has the kids who Susie is. And then that will really help you discern how to go talk to Susie. Where is Susie?
Right.
How am I going to find her? And where am I going to meet her? And how am I going to speak with her? The other thing, and this is part marketing, because marketing is very much about the data, as we've discussed, but probably also is even more embedded in my brain because of the financial services world that I've lived in for quite a while between Liberty and the CPA firm. Know your own business and its key performance indicators, right? Because it's one thing for me to go out and market and believe that I'm on strategy, but if I'm not regularly checking in and looking at the key performance indicators that move my bottom line, how do I know? Marketing, on the one hand, it's very hard sometimes to measure ROI. I get with online, I've got so many clicks, I've got so many opens, I've got so many leads, and I close so many leads. That's fabulous, but sometimes it's a little more shotgun spray than that, I'll say.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, sometimes it's just about having what I call evergreen presence and having that branding there. I had a guy walk into a Liberty Tax one time, and I asked him, I said, what brought you here? And he said, well, I saw your waiver outside of the store. I saw somebody walk into the restaurant where my buddy and I were having lunch. I saw a coupon over here. You mailed me this, and then my neighbor told me they've used you for the last 5 years and finally said, okay, God, I get it. I'm headed there.
Right.
So, you know, it's not, was it this, was it? No, because if you think about it in marketing, I think somebody told me one time, and again, I haven't Googled this lately, we see, and I bet it's more, we see 5,000 brands every day. I mean, just look in this conference room where we're sitting. There's a computer brand, there's a phone brand, a scanner brand, a keyboard brand. There's a brand on your shirt. If we look at my tag, there's a brand here. There's probably a brand on my coffee cup. We see so many brands every day. How do you stand out? Mm-hmm. And so some of it is that repetition. So by knowing who I'm trying to reach, where they are, exactly who they are, and by measuring those key performance indicators, I can tell how on target or off target I am and make corrections before it becomes financially devastating. You got to spend money to make money, but you've got to be smart about where you're fishing.
Right. No, that makes complete sense. So what advice would you give somebody that was, the question I had was, starting their career in marketing, but I think what's more important for this class is for somebody that's starting their own business.
Set the table well. And I think you've heard me say this in some of my presentations. Mm-hmm. There are a few key advisors, and I'm not trying to cut anyone else out, but there are a few key advisors that you need that if you find the right person, they will pour into you and make a significant difference. And I'm saying this from your starting, not a career like a Miller where there are a bajillion people who have a lot of experience. Right. Right? You're starting your own business by yourself.
Right. So you're everything, sales, marketing, business development, exactly. Operations.
So the quote that my husband often uses, who's our lead partner here, is do what you do well and hire to your weakness, which some people don't like the word weakness, but we all have areas mm-hmm. where we're not as good as other. I would not dare try to renovate my bathroom. I would call you. I would stink at that. It would be horrible. You would be laughing at me going, Tiffany, really, I can't even step on this floor now that you've done this. I'm afraid. Right. But, you know, do your strength and hire to your weakness, meaning if you're not a CPA, go hire one. If you're not a financial planner, go and hire one because you need to be paying yourself and you need to be planning as soon as you can. You need to be planning some great retirement strategy with that money, right? Mm-hmm. It's one thing to say, I want X amount of money. The bigger question is, what do I want to do with that? And that's where your CPA and your financial planner can help you plan for that. So it's doing that. All that hard work, effort, and tears and blood and sweat are going to turn into what you want in the future for your life. Make sure you have a great banker because mm-hmm. you're going to need money. And these three people are going to help you with cash flow management because it's usually not profit that ends a business. It's cash flow. And they're going to help you manage that cash flow. Yeah, a lot of us do, right? And they're going to help you manage that cash flow. Ask for money when you don't need it. That's when the banks want to lend. And a great banker is going to tell you that and help you get lines of credits and things established mm-hmm. so that you can grow and fuel your business properly. Also, have a great insurance person. You're going to need workers' comp. You're going to need some of these things. So have someone that you can trust and that's checking in with you as your business grows, as you add on things so that you are well covered. Coaches and mentors are wonderful. If you can find someone in your industry, I have been truly blessed. I actually owe a call to one of my mentors from age 22. He called me a few weeks ago and we've played phone tag. Have some great mentors in your life, especially if they are in your area of expertise, construction mm-hmm. or marketing, whatever that is.
Right.
Shoe sale, whatever. Have some great mentors too.
Well, I think it's interesting that you say you brought up similar ones that I've heard in the past in when I first started this business and going into some of these entrepreneurial boot camps through veteran supported organizations, right? Like mm-hmm. like Syracuse University and even the SBA, right? They tell you to put together your bail team and they bail you out, right? So you have banking, accounting, insurance, and legal. And I would argue to your point, that you need marketing and then financial planning, which isn't necessarily CPA, but it's somebody like
that is
two
like
doors
a,
down.
Yeah, like yeah. Some of our Jones, buddies around right? here, so, right? So a CPA often is not a financial planner. They work hand right. in hand, and there are many times, to your point, that we sit in their conference room or they sit in ours mm-hmm. because the two go hand in hand, and it's talking about tax strategy married to a great financial plan. And there's right. give and take in both, and you want the two of them working together for you.
Awesome. Awesome. And really just to kind of end on this, but is there anything that we haven't covered that you think would be important for somebody starting off a business as it's related to marketing or brand strategy?
Yeah, you know, my husband laughs because being an accountant, a CPA, often CPAs are introverts. Mm. So he laughs. That's why he had to marry me, because I'm an extroverted marketer. and it comes back to hiring your weaknesses. But at the end of the day, when you're first starting out, you may not have a lot of money to go out and hire a marketing firm or, you know, all of these people. But at the end of the day, you've got to get out. So the worst thing that you can do in starting your business is hanging your sign up mm-hmm. and then thinking that people are just going to come to you, because they're not. They don't know you. You could be the best builder ever mm-hmm. and you could be a really honest guy and great at what you do. But if nobody knows you, mm-hmm. they're not going to come. So get out and start networking. And that may be painful for you to do at first, but you signed up for this, buddy, by right. becoming an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to get out there and practice your elevator speech. And chances are there'll be someone in that networking group that you go to, whether it's a chamber or whatever group you choose. You know, we're friends through the chamber. We both love chambers. They have great networking groups. Mm-hmm. Somebody in that group is going to have an incredible elevator speech. Go do a one-to-one with them. That's free. Yep. Go do a one-to-one with them and ask them to help you with yours. And really work on that so that when you stand up and you say, hi, and this is what I do, it's great. People get what you do. And then go out and do those one-to-ones and talk to them and get to know that person before you ever ask them for a referral, because people do business with those that they like, know, and trust
right.
at the end of the day. And then you will start having some success in getting clients. And it takes a little bit of time. And that's where cash flow comes into play, having the cash to weather mm-hmm. that startup.
Yeah, and that was probably the toughest part for us. I mean, I was fortunate enough to have a little bit of cash to start the business and survive off of for a little while before we started pulling in clients. But yeah, I mean, my first clients were networking. Yeah. And you're not going to just put an ad on Google and figure that you're going to get... Like, we even tried Angie's List, and that was a horrible idea. I had it for about 30 minutes before I canceled and called them and canceled. But yeah, networking for us is something that I'm not comfortable doing. I don't like doing it, but I know, just to your point, you got to get out there and do it. And it's been a huge part of our ability to stay alive for the last 3 years, 3.5 years now. And it's because we're getting referrals through those networking groups. And we actually are collecting some data on which networking groups are actually providing the most value to us on contracts that we're winning. So conversion rates based off of networking events will determine, are we in the right demographic to, are the demographics from this networking group that we're winning contracts are on, is that within the demographic that we want to be in? And some of it we're finding is not. Mm-hmm. Others we're finding, well, we need to get into other things like Stroll, or where we can get onto the magazines for Buena Vista and Bermuda Run and some of those, you know, higher end, nothing less than $400,000 homes. And so that's kind of where our strategy has basically been. But awesome interview. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
And thank you very much for taking time out of your day to support not only me, but also to support anybody in our class that listens to this, and or even outside of our class, because it'll go on to a website for other people within the university and I think another university to listen to.
Very cool.
So any advice would be great. And the advice that we got here today was awesome. So thank you for that.
Thank you.